Support for KNKX's studio sessions comes from the University of Puget Sound, an independent liberal arts university. Through scholarly engagement and collaborative education, Puget Sound prepares students for careers in the arts, sciences, research, and entrepreneurship. More at pugetsound.edu.
Hello, I'm Abe Beeson. Welcome to the KNKX studios in Seattle. Pianist Lynn Arriale has finally returned to the KNKX studios. Has it been a decade already? Lynn Arriale has been called the poet laureate of the piano. She's a master of the instrument, as far as I'm concerned. For more than three decades and nearly 20 albums, Arriale's music packs an emotional punch with dazzling technique. Her most recent album, Being Human, addresses our troubled world and celebrates courage, persistence, faith, and joy. This relatively new trio features award-winning Chicago bassist Ethan Fillion and versatile young New Orleans drummer Tanner Gus. Let's get into the music. Please help me welcome the Lynn Arriale Trio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, Lynn Arial and her trio. Ethan Fillion bass. Tanner Gus at the drums. Woo! That was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Lynn Arial, it's great to have you back in the studios. Tell me about this trio, because I know you've worked with both Ethan and Tanner, but they hadn't worked together until today?
That's correct. That's the magic of jazz. We speak a language, a common language, and I had the great pleasure of playing with both of them in different contexts. Ethan is from Chicago, and I played with him, I think, a year or so ago, and Tanner is from New Orleans, and I thought, this would be a really nice chemistry, and you never know, but I think they play great together, and there's a really nice energy and connection.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder how that changes the way you're playing, because I'm guessing you're paying a lot more attention to what they're doing and their interaction. And of course, there's got to be a whole lot of trust that goes into that, too.
Absolutely. Everything that happens is in a sense, spontaneous. And because new musicians are playing the music, all kinds of things can change direction. And I'm listening to everything that they're doing, and it does affect me. These may be subtle changes, mm-hmm. but every time I'm in a different context, the conversation is slightly different.
And I know over the years you've had long-term relationships with trios where it becomes a little bit almost like ESP, where you can read each other's minds. And I wonder how that's different playing with a newer trio, if that's an exciting, fresh thing for you, or if it feels a little dangerous, like you're on a tightrope.
Well, it's exciting. You know, ESP can start right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because you tune into each other, and there's this kind of feel that we're floating around in together when we're playing. It's kind of magical when you think about it, that the shape of the music can change with different energies interpreting it. And even though each of the musicians have the music, the lead sheet, in other words, just the melody and the chord changes, what they do with it is up to them. And of course, there's certain guidance because, I wrote the tunes, and so I have a certain thing in mind. But each person brings a unique concept to the music, yeah. And that's kind of very interesting for me and exciting.
And Lynn, you bring a real particular sound to the piano, and I wonder if we could talk about your relationship with the instrument and how you first encountered the piano. Were you real young and starting out? Tell us about that.
I was really young. We had a toy piano when I was growing up. It was about 2 feet left to right, and it was plastic, and it sounded like a toy piano. And I started playing tunes by ear when I was, I think, 3 or 4. And I begged my mother to let me study with the local piano teacher, and she asked her, and she said, no, she's way too young, which now today would never happen. 2 years old, sure, no problem. Right. But I would play songs by ear off the radio. And I remember one of the first songs that I learned to play by ear was Moon River, of all things. I don't know why. And also I listened to a lot of musicals. Mm-hmm. And so I remember refusing to take naps in the afternoon unless my mother put on Camelot or My Fair Lady or The Sound of Music. So I grew up hearing that music and somehow translated it into, playing it on the on the piano in a very simple form, of course. Mm-hmm. And eventually started studying the teacher agreed to teach me, but God bless her. She had a lot of patience because I'm sure I wasn't easy at that age.
It sounds like you weren't necessarily listening to particular genres either. I mean, the world of musicals is a lot of different kinds of music and of course lends itself as it has since the beginning to improvisation, and jazz musicians have always loved popular music and music from the musicals. I wonder if that is true, or if you were listening also to the classics of jazz, like Waltz for Debbie, things like that.
I wish I had, but I grew up in a family that really didn't listen to music. Mm. And wow. And I was an adopted child, so they didn't know what was going on with me. And they were not musically inclined or even particularly interested in music. So it would have been, I would have loved to have heard other kinds of music, but I remember hearing these pieces from musicals. And when I first started studying piano, I played by ear, and so my teacher would play the songs for me, very simple songs, and I would play them back or kind of a reasonable facsimile. And then she realized what I was doing, and she said, "That's it. I'm not going to play for you anymore." And, you know, so I had to start to learn to read music.
I wonder if we could talk a little bit about developing your sound. I think I've read in interviews with you that a lot about the sound of a musician comes from who they are as a person. So maybe not even developing your sound as a pianist, but just developing as, you know, trying to be a better person every day.
Well, that's a beautiful thought. I think that how we live does affect how we sound on some level. Mm-hmm. All the decisions that we've made in our lives, the people that we associate with, the books we read, the music we listen to, the food we eat, everything, it affects our personalities in a certain way, and it shapes us. When people talk about developing an original sound, I always think that's very interesting, because we don't talk about that in terms of someone's personality. You never hear anybody who's 25 saying, "Well, I can be my mother and I can be my father, I can imitate my sister, but now I have to find out who I am." They already have an identity, and a lot of times we have identities and we have very strong personalities from a young age. Mm-hmm. And then all the choices we make, you know, influence that. And I think the same thing happens in music, just through the choices we make.
Yeah. Your music is often described in emotional ways, like it's hopeful or it's optimistic. I just found out yesterday that my little niece, freshman in college, just had her heart broken for the first time. And the first thing I thought was, I got to get her some music, because music is so healing. And I wonder if you find that too. The emotions that come through music are, you know, something that can really heal our soul.
I would like to think that, especially in the world that we live in right now, if it can be even a tiny bit soothing, if the music can be soothing or in healing in any way, I'm very grateful. And I think music is such a powerful force, and it's magical that we have music. When you think of all the different genres and everything, it's a language and all the different types of music. It's really so remarkable. It's a great gift to humanity.
Yeah. I wonder if you can talk about getting emotion out of a piano, a percussion instrument. I've one of my favorite movies, This Is Spinal Tap, Rob Reiner directed, and there's a scene in it where one of the musicians is sitting at the piano and is working on a song. He says, "This is in D minor, the saddest of all keys. Makes people weep instantly." Is there a secret to it? Is it just a matter of hitting the D minor?
That's good to know. I think, too, keys have colors. I remember my classical teacher, Rebecca Pennies, would say, you know, G-flat major has a very rich sound to it. C major has a brightness to it. D major has an even more bright sound. Emotion through sound, that's a very, very deep subject. I always wanted to try to capture an emotion in each piece. The keys do matter to me. In fact, I have been known to go through every key for each tune that I write, because just because it popped into my head in A major doesn't mean that's the best key. And just because everybody's recorded a tune in E flat doesn't mean that's going to be the key that speaks at the piano or just to my heart. Yeah. I recorded an album years ago with Randy Brecker, and it was called Nuance, and I did Ballad of the Sad Young Men, and I rehearsed with musicians throughout the summer, a trumpet player and a rhythm section, and I went back and forth, E-flat to D, E-flat to D, and everybody said, "Oh, you have to do it in E-flat." And I thought, nope, I don't think so. This needs to be in D, and nobody, I've never heard anybody record in D. And so I said, "Randy," he said, "Yeah, D, it has more gravitas." So, but it takes a while. Yeah, and it's right. Totally subjective. Mm-hmm. What I hear might not be what someone else hears, but I have to go with my gut feeling, my intuition.
Yeah. Your recent record, Being Human, talks about humanity, civil rights, and honoring healthcare workers. It gets into politics a little bit. Some of those subjects can be really frustrating and make me personally kind of angry at times. I wonder if you ever bring anger or frustration to your playing, or if you're like, "Nah, I got to leave that on the paper and then bring a more hopeful sound to the piano."
That's a great point. If I reacted to everything that's going on in the world, you wouldn't want to hear it. You wouldn't want to hear it, because it's a very just unbelievable time right now. And somehow I have to just hold on to the belief that we are going to get through this and we're going to be okay. And there are no words. So what I'm trying to do in music is somehow give people a little bit of a break, a little bit of tiny touch of relief, if possible, and put out positive energy. And I hear my fellow musicians speaking about this the same way, because we often can feel like, what can we do? This is so difficult. And I don't think the answer is to get angrier and angrier and put that out, because there's plenty of that. So I'm trying to put out positive energy and frequencies and through the music and in whatever small way I can and that we can.
I'm hearing it, Lynn. Thank you very much. Lynn Arriale, everyone.
Thank you.
And thanks so much to everyone helping us put the studio sessions together. Our studio session team includes audio engineer Brian Moynihan, our video producer today, Jordan Tan, and studio sessions producer Brenda Goldstein-Young. I'm Abe Beeson. Thank you so much for listening and for your support of this public radio station, your KNKX.